What a privilege. What an absolute privilege. What a schus to be able to sit here with all of you. In retrospect, it might not have been the wisest idea to start this year Shushan Purim, because I'm suffering from one of the most profound hangovers I've ever felt in my life. So if I can get a coherent word out, that would already be a miracle. And I'll do my best. Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach. This is a long time in coming. We've been zocha in different contexts to learn together, different times, different settings, and to do something specifically for the women, that it should be a regular kavua thing, is something that I wanted to do for a long time, and apparently now's the right time, because nothing happens a minute before it's supposed to happen or a minute after it's supposed to happen, and so this is it, now's the right time. So Baruch Hashem, what a privilege to be able to sit together. I want to make it very clear from the outset that the nature of what we're going to be learning and the nature of the essence of everything that I'm privileged to learn and to give over and to teach is something that has absolutely nothing to do with outside, with chitzonius, with the externals. Not in any way, shape, or form, right? Meaning, in no aspect of externality does any of what we're teaching or learning impact. It doesn't come into the conversation at all. And so a lot of people are asking in the beginning, who's the shir for? Which, you know, is it for high school girls? Is it for posem? Is it for women, you know, ladies, married women? And the answer is, it's irrelevant. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And by the men's shirim, it's much more apparent that there's no, you know, every background, every kind of kippah, you know, every age, because it's for the neshama. It's for the neshama, and in that place, all the while that you're a growth-oriented person who's capable of focusing and interested in learning, I don't care who you are, I don't care what you are, I don't care, it really, and nobody cares. I mean, mamash does not matter. So in this space, there's no age is not relevant, background is not relevant, stage in life is not relevant. We're learning about the neshama, and we're speaking to the neshamas that are in this room, and hopefully my neshama can take in some of this as well. So that's really crucial for everybody to know. Very, very, from the outset, this literally is for everyone. Makes no difference. And experiencing a setting in which that is true is already a big lesson. We have to stop seeing things on the outside. Inside. That's what we're going to be learning about. In addition to many things. So I began with saying that it's a great privilege, because indeed it is. The privilege of realizing that we live in such a wild, wild generation. In 2024, the world is falling apart in ways that we are having a hard time even keeping up with. Forget about processing. It's just one thing after the other. We're living in an incredibly overwhelming time, in an incredibly fragmented time, in an incredibly difficult time to be a human, and certainly to be a Jew. Thank you so much for coming, to be a Yid. And so we have to recognize that the fact that Hashem's light is shining in the world strongly enough that irrespective of everything that we've been through collectively and whatever it is that we're going through individually, and each and every one of us has our own package and our own story, what we say in Davening, v'chol zois shimcha lo shachachnu, after everything that we've been through, we haven't forgotten you, Rabbanu Shel Olam, shimcha lo shachachnu, we're still coming back. We still want to learn. We still want to grow. We have enough Jewish hope in our hearts that enables us to make new beginnings, which don't make a mistake. This is a new beginning. This shir is a new beginning. Quite literally, we're starting something new, and for each and every one of us, taking a journey into this new sefer and into a new concept, into a new avoda, it's a new beginning. And that's a huge privilege. We should be aware that there are so many people, unfortunately, and it's our job to help them, there are so many people who have just given up already. They've given up. They'll see a new shir is starting and say, forget about it. What's the point? What's the point? Starting something new. So what a privilege to be among those who haven't forgotten. A few technical points before we begin with the actual content and the material. And I'm going to let it really speak for itself, and we'll develop these ideas. We're not in a rush. We're going to get through as much as we can get through each shir, and we'll carry on. And when we need a new packet, we'll have new source sheets. And you're welcome to either take them, hold on to them, write notes on them, or you can leave them here and we'll just have them available. So we don't have to get to anything, you know, particular. It's just see where it takes us. But a few technical notes. Number one, for anybody who is local and is listening to the Zoom or is going to be watching the recording, if possible, everyone should really try to make it in person. So one of the reasons I didn't want to have a Zoom is because it's so much easier for people to sit at home on their couch and watch it on Zoom or to watch the recording afterwards, which obviously we want to make it available and accessible to everyone. But we're also trying to build something together, right? Meaning we're trying to foster a community of Jews who understand the language of our generation and who could build, with my involvement and without my involvement, a cohesive group so we don't feel like we're alone on this journey. It's very, very important. Very important. It's not just the content. It's the coming together. That's a huge, huge tikkun. Huge. Especially in our world of fragmentation, you know, people are longing for human connection more than ever. Mamish more than ever. So it's a really big and very, very important thing. And the final thing is that there is no final thing. Yeah, that's the only technical point. Okay. So let's talk just a little bit collectively what it is that we're trying to do. And then we're going to get into the sources and we're going to read the words of the tzaddikim together. I mentioned before, people are thirsting in this generation more than ever. People are really thirsty. You know, people are longing and yearning for something that maybe they're not even able to express. So there's a sense, thanks for coming. So there's this sense that people are looking for more than just living on the surface level. People want to get into the inner dimension of things because it's never been easier to be a Jew. And we have it down pat. The what, where, how, and when of Orthodox Jewish living. Everybody has access today to every part of the Jewish experience in ways that maybe we never did throughout our history. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful. But there are also many issues. There are many, many, many issues. And the issues largely are symptoms of us really, in a certain sense, having lost touch with the inner dimension of Yiddishkeit, with the heart and the soul of Yiddishkeit. And people want an authentic relationship. That's what we're learning about, building an authentic connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People want the real thing. People want to have a connection that's not just intellectual, that isn't just a facet of our identity, but it's the whole thing, my whole life, where the way that we can combat the fragmented experience of nature is by developing a unified, holistic view of ourselves, of everything that we're engaged with on a day-to-day level in the realm of the holy, in the realm of the mundane, and beyond, to have a holistic view of the world, to understand this moment in history. It's very important. We're not just like, you know, floating around in an endless ocean. We have no idea, just the waves are carrying us. No, our tradition tells us very, very, very specifically where we are in history, what it is that our generation is tasked with. And from that standpoint, like I mentioned, things seem to be falling apart. They're really coming together in a certain way. Just we have to develop the perspectives. And Hashem, like Chazal tell us, was what's called hikdim refuah lemaka. Hashem sends the healing even before he sends the malady. And so, largely, the brokenness of our time can be traced back, in a certain sense, can be traced back to the Industrial Revolution, you know, where things really started changing and speeding up in ways that are well beyond what the human being is capable of. You know, today, the what's called the software, so to speak, the technology that's being developed, particularly with artificial intelligence, is so advanced that it is capable of more than the physical world can allow it to do. Meaning it's like we have endless fire, so to speak, flames, but we don't even have enough wicks. Right? It's like the technology is so advanced, we don't have enough physical hardware processors to keep up with, you know, meaning the human being today, we can access every human being across the planet in every language, you know, using different apps that enable us to communicate with everyone all hours of the day, with social media and so on, but we weren't built for that. I mean, the human being is just not built to live in this realm, in the way that things have been developing largely. From the mid 1700s, early 1800s, when things really began to develop in the realms of science and technology and so on. And so hikdim refuah lemaka, at that very same moment when the Tzar HaKadosh already foretold 1,000 plus years ago, that in the year 1840, the Tzaddik wrote, Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, like it says by Noach, the gates of heaven and the gates of earth would open. Over there it meant a flood. The Zohar says that it's referring to wisdom. There's a wisdom of the heavens that's going to open up, and there's a wisdom of the earth that's going to open up. And that's exactly what happened. There was an explosion around the year 1840. It was the thick of it. Obviously, it's hard to look exactly at that year and say what happened. But in a spiritual sense, it was the heart of the Industrial Revolution, as well as when the soul of mankind, which is always yearning for more than just expediency and technical know-how and the capacity to live a physically comfortable life, people need more than that. And so at that moment, there was also an explosion of spiritual wisdom across traditions, philosophically, spiritually, religiously. There's a longing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down to the heart and soul of our nation, who are meant to be the heart and soul of the whole world. We're meant to be leaders, not followers. We're meant to be leaders. We can't lead if we don't know with what we're supposed to lead. That's also part of what we're going to be talking about. We have to lead on the offense. We have to have a mission and understand what that mission is, and to understand what it means to be soldiers with the weapons that we have. But if we don't know what our weapons are, it's very difficult to be a soldier. So we're going to be learning about all of this. But at that very same moment, when all hell, so to speak, was breaking loose on the level of society and rapid changes, revolutions, first the modern age, and then now we're in the postmodern age where all systems have failed and people are grasping for meaning while we live with more physical comfort than at any other moment in history. And at the same time, we're dealing with the most pervasive and profound mental health crisis known to mankind. All these things are happening at the same time, just explaining where we're at in history. At the moment of the inception of all of this, Hashem sent down a soul to the Jewish nation. And that soul was called Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem Tov, from the standpoint of Hasidus, which is really important to understand how the Hasidim viewed him, not how anybody, I mean, what is the indigenous, so to speak, you know, from that standpoint, how did the disciples of the Baal Shem Tov understand him? Certainly for them, it wasn't just like an interesting cultural phenomena. From the standpoint of Hasidus, Jewish history is divided into epochs and eras. And as we move closer and closer to Mashiach, there are different times. And with the times come different ways of thinking, different ways of engaging with our tradition. From their standpoint, there was a definitive transformation in the nature of what it meant to be a Jew, in the nature of what it meant to engage with the Torah, in the nature of what it meant to understand about where history had come from and where it was heading. And that definitive moment was the before and after the Baal Shem Tov came down and began to reveal what he began to reveal. It wasn't just like another community. We have to understand what it was. Hasidus is not just for Hasidim. It's a big shame that there was something that developed called Hasidim, because that means that it's very easy for us to just see it as a completely external phenomena that has nothing to do with us. Like, what do I have with the Baal Shem Tov? I didn't grow up in that community. But again, the Baal Shem Tov didn't grow up in that community either, nor did he found that community. And the first two generations of Hasidus, which primarily interests me and has interested me for the last decade or so, where you can still sense that free flame of what it was that the tzaddik came to this world to reveal, that has very much what to do with what we mentioned at the beginning, nothing to do with externalities. None of the early Hasidim looked a certain way. They all came from different places in Europe. There was no shared dress code or anything. It had nothing to do with any of that. What drew them together? What drew them together was that they were honest and authentic enough to give a voice to the thirst of their souls. They knew that what they had was not sufficing, was not enough to keep them engaged in the way that they felt they needed to be engaged. But more than that, as prospective leaders, you can see they all became leaders. They looked around at the Jewish scene and they said, this is not, we need something else. We need something more. We need something deeper. We need to get into the heart and soul of Yiddishkeit. Because again, when you have the perfectly formulated body, so to speak, of Yiddishkeit, it's wonderful. But then, just like the vision of Yechezkel HaNavi, which I think is not such a stretch to see it applied in this context, where Yechezkel sees the dried bones of all the scattered, or the Shevet HaBinyamin, and so on, all the scattered bones in the field. And the prophecy has two parts. Number one, the bones come together. They form bodies again. And it's a metaphor for the Jewish nation in exile. It's a metaphor for many things. Ultimately, as we get closer and closer to the Geula, which you and I are standing on the threshold of, Am Yisrael comes together on the outside. But once the bodies are all formulated, that's not enough. Because what then happens in the prophecy? Down comes into those bodies a soul, what's called a Ruach Mimarim, a spirit from beyond. The Baal Shem Tov is that spirit from beyond. We just read in the Megillah, and then we'll just say this one last thing and go into our learning together. Be'ezras Hashem. We read in the Megillah that Esther comes standing outside the throne room of the king. And she hasn't been called Achin Avi Al HaMelech Shalei Kedas. It wasn't legal, right? She had no reason. She didn't deserve to have an audience with the king. She had not been called for 30 days. Achin Avi Al HaMelech Shalei Kedas. I'm going to go into to the king. And she's telling Mordechai that what she's doing is a very dangerous thing. Why? Why is it so dangerous what she's going to be doing? Because nobody, says the Megillah, is allowed into the Chatzar HaPnimis of the Melech. No one's allowed to go into the inner sanctum of the Melech, of the king. And obviously Esther is not just Esther. Esther is the whole Jewish nation, is the Shechina. And we know from the Gemara already that whenever it says HaMelech and it doesn't follow it up with HaChashverosh, who is it a reference to? Hashem. So there's, says Esther, there's only one kind of person who's able to get into what's called the Chatzar HaPnimis, which we now understand to mean the inner dimension of Yiddishkeit, the soul-oriented experience of Yiddishkeit that can bring us to life, mamish to life, as a nation, and by extension, then, the whole world. Who is that person that's able to get into the Chatzar HaPnimis of the Melech, that inner sanctum? Says the Megillah, Milvad Asher Yoshit HaMelech Es Sharbit Hazav. Only the person to whom the king, which is Hashem, extends the Sharbet Hazav. What's the translation of Sharbet Hazav? What does it mean? The golden scepter, right? I heard from my Rebbe, Rav Tzvi Cheshen, Rav Kluger, who we're going to be learning from. I'll tell you a little bit about him in a minute, who has many, is a prolific author, has many Sfarim. He brings us also on his Sefer on the Megillah, one of his two Sfarim on Purim, actually, appears on the Megillah. Sharbit is an acronym, it's a Rashi Tevos. Mind blowing. You know what the letters stand for? Rebbe Yisrael Baal Shem Tov. spells Sharbit. Amazing remez. Hashem sent the cure before the malady. The malady is that we're living external lives. We're so detached from the heart and soul of being. And the pasuk in the Megillah is telling us, it's a remez, you know, you can take it or leave it, but it's a remez. And it's true. That there's nobody who gets into the inner sanctum, the chatzar ha-pnimes, milvad ha-shiyoshit eloi ha-melech, ashar b'tazov. The one to whom Hashem sends down the way of the Baal Shem Tov. That the whole way of the Baal Shem Tov, you can wrap it up in one Maimar Chazal, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Rachmana Liba Boy, that at the end of the day, what it is that Hashem wants from us is not the doing, but it's the being. Rachmana Liba Boy, it's our heart. HaKadosh Baruch wants our heart, which means Hashem wants us for real, not just the things that we may or may not do. Hashem wants us to come into the space of a real, authentic, vibrant relationship with Him. But the most tremendous obstacle to having a real relationship with Hashem, the biggest obstacle, which most people struggle with the most, and it's so beautiful that this is what they struggle with because it's so easily overcome, just takes a little bit of time and intellectual curiosity and openness, is that we have absolutely no idea what Hashem is. Absolutely none. And whatever we do think we know is so distorted and so limited that it's the same word, but it has the wrong definition, so to speak. And so to say, that Hashem that we think we know what it is, very hard to have a relationship with. Very hard to have a relationship with. And so we spend so much time like working on trying, because we all want to, we know that it's important to have a relationship with Hashem. And Sigeitnish, that it's not happening, it's not working, we don't feel it, it's difficult, we have questions and there are challenges, and we don't even feel much of the time that it's even right, or we're full of anger and we can't understand. And it's so easy, because we just need to broaden our definition. Because if we're lucky, we grew up with the definition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only as our King, but as our Father. And that's normative standard Jewish theology. Avinu Malkeinu, right? Hashem is both our King and Hashem is our Father. But the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbi Nachman, much more after him, whose works, all of our teaching, Bezras Hashem, and learning is primarily founded on the teachings of Rabbi Nachman, the great-grandson of the Baal Shem Tov, who saw it as his mission to restore the original flame of the Baal Shem Tov that had already two generations later started to become so institutionalized and about, you know, the Bekeshas and everything else. That's not about it. You know, it's about what it really was, what it really was supposed to be. So the Baal Shem Tov introduced a new definition for Hashem that you and I would need as we're crossing this narrow bridge from Gullus into Geula. And that definition of Hashem that the whole Sefer we're going to be learning is based on is that in addition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's serving as, so to speak, our King, it's a metaphor, with all of its ramifications, and our Father, a metaphor, with all of its very deep ramifications, the Master of Heaven and Earth, the Ein Sof, the Infinite One, is also our best friend. Our best, best friend. And this opens up a whole new dimension to our understanding of and the potential for building a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to understand the way in which Hashem really didn't just bring us into the world to serve Him, nor did He father us and He has such a deep relationship with us, but there is a symbiotic relationship that the Jewish soul has with its source. There's a give and take. There's a true friendship that can be built, that can be fostered. And the whole Sefer is built on exploring this dynamic in a way that I have never seen anything even close to the way in which the Sefer explores the dynamics of the Jews' relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, primarily set in the experience of what's called Hispodidus. What does Hispodidus mean? If you're familiar with it, what do you think the word means? Huh? Usually when we translate introspection, there's a very, very similar word called hisponinus, which is very similar, and it's also a part of it. There's a hispodidus. Well, let's start with the root of the word, bodeid. Sure. Levadad. What does it mean to be alone? Levadad, bodeid. So hispodidus fundamentally just means being alone, to be alone. And it was applied in different ways by the tzaddikim throughout the generations. But Rabbi Nachman reintroduced this idea that you again already find in earlier Sfarim, and he put a little bit of a different spin on it, where the tzaddik says, you know what it means, hispodidus? It means that a Jew should take time every day. Rabbi Nachman says it should be an hour. Hour is super, super difficult. Let's start with 5 minutes, right? And we're going to get into all of that, Bezras Hashem. Time every day to shut the phone, because you cannot be alone, even if you're not around other people, if you have your phone in your pocket or in your purse or whatever, you're not really alone. It means to really, really be alone, mamish. Preferably in nature. We're going to learn about all the different places where it can be done, and hint, it can be done everywhere, but there are more ideal places and times and so on. And to talk to Hashem like you would to your very best friend. And in so doing, especially when we approach it with the correct hashkafa philosophy, we are fortifying our perception of Hashem and relationship with Him in the context of the way in which Hashem is our best friend in the whole entire world. And this is the Chatzar HaPnimis. This means getting into Yiddishkeit in the deepest way. And if we're lucky enough to foster this connection, so then Be'ezras Hashem, and we're going to be focusing on this also, that we're going to always be bringing things back into education and parenting, which is, Bezras Hashem, relevant and will be relevant, but Karav Mamash at the right time for all of us. to know how to bring this into the way that we communicate concepts about Hashem and Yiddishkeit and the dynamics of our relationship with Hashem and Yiddishkeit in a way that is healthy and in a way that is focused on the time, relevant to the time that we live in. We can't be giving our children Yiddishkeit from 100 years ago. Has to be today, and I would say even more, you know, because it used to be a generation was like 10 years, 20 years. Today, a generation is like a week. Like, things are moving so fast that if we're not plugged into the times, there's a disconnect. And for, you know, I'm saying for our children and our students, but also for us, it has to be so plugged into the mitzvahs that we're living in so that it can be relevant like anything, so that we can find the terminology necessary to bring us to life, and by extension, our friends and our children and our family members and our whole nation, particularly the hundreds of thousands of Jews who don't even know anything about Yiddishkeit. It's our obligation to reach them. And then once we activate the whole Jewish nation, we very, very, very much need to figure out ways of reaching humanity, because that's our mission, to be an Or LaGoyim. So let's begin, yeah? Let's begin. Take a look at the first sheet. And to those who are on Zoom, if you're on the WhatsApp chat, so I sent the source sheets there. Maybe somebody actually, if you have access to the WhatsApp chat, just and you have the source sheets, maybe send it back for anybody who joined after the sheets were sent out. And also, this is primarily a share for those who are in person, but I do want to acknowledge all the women that we have on Zoom. Thank you so much for joining us. If you take a look at the first sheet, here are three quotes from the primary sources in Kisvei Breslov about his Svodidus. These are the most fundamental, even though it's mentioned in many other places. These are three absolutely fundamental sources where Rabbi Nachman begins to discuss and express and reveal this avoda in a way that was completely unique, that no tzaddik had formulated it as clearly and as with as much of a stress and a focus as Rabbi Nachman did. I'm going to take a look at these three sources here, which will set the stage. It's very important to see where things come from. And then we're going to allow Rav Kluger to take us into the Hakdama of the Sefer. I don't think we're going to finish the whole Hakdama tonight, but it's a very, very good framing of the text and the content that we're going to be exploring. Okay, so let's take a look inside. Again, I apologize for my voice. I did a lot of screaming yesterday. You know, it's a really good Purim if you feel like I feel now. So Baruch Hashem, I hope everybody's Purim was also similarly beautiful. So the Heiliger Rebbe Zchus Yagon Aleinu, the Tzaddik Rabbi Nachman says as follows. This comes from Likutei Moran Tinyana, which is the second volume of Likutei Moran. They're printed together in one volume, but there's a first part and a second part from the 25th lesson, which is the source text on Hespodidus. This is the place where he speaks about it, and it's not the whole lesson, it's just a quote from it, but this is how he begins. Rabbi Nachman says, Hespodidus, this experience of being alone, spending time with Hashem alone, speaking to Him in your own words, He says is the greatest, most elevated spiritual experience that we can imagine. The pinnacle of the religious experience. Such a strange thing. Mala gedoyla elyoina min hakol. The highest thing. Well, what does it mean? What's the definition? The Ainu meaning likboy alay alkol panim sha o yoiser. To institute for oneself, Rabbi Nachman says an hour or more, but again, I've spoken to Gedolim in Breslov who said that the tradition was always that it's not I'm all or nothing. If you can do an hour of Hespodidus, halavai. But we shouldn't feel limited, you know, to only that, however much time that we can feasibly fit into our very busy schedules. So Rabbi Nachman says, halavai, you know, it should be an hour or more. Lehispodid, levado be'eza cheder, to be alone in a room by yourself. Ay besada, even better to go out into nature. I've had many beautiful Hespodidus sessions in Hendon Park, which is like the closest thing to nature that we have around here. And to talk things out between you and your acquirer, which is Hashem. Really to just express everything that you're going through, everything that you're feeling, with words of supplication, with words of conversation, graceful words, deep words, real words, honest and authentic words. To speak to Hashem and to tell him how much it hurts and to tell him how distant we feel. And to ask Hashem, just bring me close to you when I have a relationship with you. And we're going to learn about what Hispodidus should be. It's a whole sugya. We're going to learn a whole sefer now, Ezras Hashem, about what this is, what the dynamic is, what we should be thinking going into it, what the stages of Hispodidus are, different natures of his different Hispodidus sessions at different times in our lives, joyous times, difficult times, challenges, challenging times. We're going to learn about all of this. And Rabbi Nachman says, again, he's just quoting different parts of a longer teaching. And it's an incredibly elevated thing. We can't even imagine. And it is a great strategy, great advice to get close to Hashem. This is advice that is completely universal. Universal. It's for everyone. There is no one for whom Hispodidus is not. Doesn't matter. Some people think, no, I'm a Litvak. I'm not a Chassid. I'm a Yaki. And someone told me interestingly yesterday that most of the Yakis here who were affiliated later on with Yakish Minhagim and Shuls actually come from Chassidim. Very, very interesting thing. He says, if you look three or four generations back, there was a small contingency of actual German Jews who founded the Shtibach. And then when Jews moved over, they were from Poland. They were from Ukraine. They were Hasidim. Not to discriminate. Chas v'shalom, everything is beautiful and wonderful. Someone actually told me that Yekesha music, apparently, I didn't know that they sing, but someone told me that the Yekesh, I thought they had Nusuch, meaning someone told me that there's very beautiful Yekesh Nagunim. Is that the case? Is that true? So I have to look into that more. That's what someone said. Anyway, but the point is that sometimes people feel, I have no connection to, Rabbi Nachman says, I don't understand. Again, like we said before, it has nothing to do with anything external. It has nothing to do with your more the spiritual type, the less spiritual, like it has nothing to do. You talk to Hashem. Doesn't matter how spiritual you are. You hopefully you talk to your spouse. You talk to talk to someone you love. I mean, like it has nothing, you don't have to be spiritual to have a friend, you know? You have to be human, though. You have to be human. And there's a pasuk that says, referring to the generation before the coming of Mashiach, Hashem says, "V'asiro yisias leiva even." I will take away your heart of stone, and I will replace it with a lev basar. I will replace it with a fleshy heart, with a feeling heart, with a human heart. Rabbi Nachman says, "You know why we're going to be called?" He told his Hasidim that why we would be called Breslov or Hasidim. You know what Breslov is? It's the letters Lev Basar, just spelled differently. Breslov is Lev Basar. That's the whole thing. Rabbi Nachman wanted, he didn't care what you should be, a card carrying, you know, a Breslov or Chassid. Stay whatever you think you are. Stay whatever you are. Don't change a thing about your identity. But have a feeling heart. That's what it means to be a Breslov or Chassid. That's what Rabbi Nachman meant when he said, "La'asid lavai." He said, "When Mashiach comes, the ganze Welt sein Breslover Chassidim. The whole world is going to be Breslover Chassidim." What did he mean? That everyone's going to be Breslov and dancing on trucks? You know, not that that has anything to do with Breslov anyway. That was always a fringe, but that's a separate thing. And maybe there are beautiful things about that too. I know that there are. But whatever you think Breslov means, no, it just means that every other kind of Chassid. And every Litvika, and every Yaki, and guess what? And every human, even the non-Jewish humans, will have a lev basar. That's it. That's what it means. That's what Rabbi Nachman was trying to help us to do. Not to have a heart of stone, which means not to be a person who lives with cynicism, with clothes, like a stone is so close, not porous. It's just locked up. It cannot move. It's stuck. No, to be people who are open, who are dynamic, who are hopeful, who are changing, who are curious, who live life with wonder, who are youthful, childlike. That's what it means to be a Breslov or Chassid. So this advice is for everyone. Hu'davar hashava l'chol nefesh. And everyone can do this. Mikatan from children. You could train children how to do this. From a young age, encourage children to go. Speak to Hashem in their own words. the Ad Gadol, to the greatest Gedolim. You know, you didn't have to be Breslov to do a Spodidus. There's an incredible Sefer called Shivchei Shel Tzadik. The Sefer Shivchei Shel Tzadik is basically a collection. I have it at home. It's a collection. I'm not so happy with the premise of it because I think it's a bit like defensive in nature. But the whole Sefer is a collection of things that all the Gedolim from Rabbi Nachman's time until now said about Breslov. It's a collection from across the board. You'd be shocked. You'd absolutely be shocked to see from the Sfaradish Gedolim to all the Litvish Rashi Yeshiva and all the Hasidim and the Baba Sali and this and the Chafetz Chaim and Rabbi Ruchem Lovavitz, and really secretly they were all Breslovers. Like, and it's again, like, the premise is silly. Like, what? Listen, if Rabbi Nachman is a tzaddik, so he doesn't need it. Like, what's the premise of the book? That now we need, in order to know that Rabbi Nachman is a tzaddik, I mean, look what the Stipler said about him. Like, it's a bit, you know, nobody made a whole book of all the things that people said about the Stipler, you know, because we just believe that these were tzaddikim. So the premise is a bit silly, but the whole Sefer is filled with accounts of how many tzaddikim did this, what Rabbi Nachman describes. Whether they learned it from Rabbi Nachman or whether they knew it intuitively, the Chafetz Chaim did daily hispodidus. He would go into a corner and he would talk to Hashem in his own words. It had nothing to, again, I'm just trying to say, it has nothing to do with, it's not a Breslov thing. It's a Jewish thing. It's a human thing. It's a relational thing. To build a relationship, you have to converse. That's what it means to build a kesher. That's what it means to be human. Adam lenefesh chaya, the pasuk says, Adam arishon became a human being, says the Targum Onkelos, leruach memalala. He became a speaking spirit. That's what it means to be human, is to speak. That's how we build a real relationship with Hashem, by speaking to Him. Now, davening is wonderful. We need the tefillahs. Tefillah is very deep, and we'll do another series when we finish with this. We could do on tefillah about the deeper meanings of the siddur and the tikkunim and everything, that all the spiritual rectifications that are happening specifically in Shemana Esrei in its current form that cannot be changed. And there's tremendous potency to that. But on the most fundamental, basic, pragmatic human level, you cannot compare. You cannot compare the relationship with Hashem that a person builds through liturgy, meaning through the saying of words that are not our own, and through really making Hashem really real, at least as real as the fellow human beings who He created, at least as real as them. See, He says, go back inside, U'davar ha'shav l'chol nefesh mikatan v'ad gadol. It's something that's for everyone. Ki kulam yicholim linhoik hanagazu. Everyone, from the smallest children to the gedoyle adar, everyone's got to be doing this. V'al yedei zeh, yavoy l'mayle gadoyle. And through this, you can come to a very, very high madriga. Ashrei sheyeiches bazeh. Fortunate is the one who holds on to this. Who holds on to this. Incredible privilege. The next quote, which is from a Sefer Koich Ve'ar, is a collection of many different oral traditions, different stories and things that happened that weren't in the Sfarim, but that were told over stories by the early Hasidim in Breslov throughout the generations. And over here, Va'amar Rabbi Nachman said, Ha'aloi kisha Hashem Yisbarach oizer v'espodidus, and this is what we mentioned earlier, when Hashem helps that the espodidus flows, as a espodidus kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu. It's like a person speaking to his friend. And we're gonna learn the depth of the implication of that. Ube'emsa asicha, and while Rabbi Nachman was teaching this, Shel Rabbeinu HaKodesh Maharan of Rabbi Nachman in Talmidai, to his Talmid, his primary disciple, Maharnat, Reb Nosson, to whom Rabbi Nachman was like Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis Yehoshua, right? They had that relationship, like the Gemara Baba Basar tells us, Tafayin Gimel, Pnei Moshe ka Pnei Chama. Moshe's face was like the face of the sun, Pnei Yehoshua ka Pnei Levana. Yehoshua's face was like the face of the moon. What is the metaphor there? That Yehoshua, just like the moon only gets its light, what it has from the sun, so too Yehoshua made himself totally batal. He just received everything from Moshe. It's the same thing by Reb Nosson. Reb Nosson was, we could go now very long. I'm just going to make it short because we want to at least get through the first page here. But it's important to do introductory. And I'm also half asleep, so I'm telling you, if I say anything that makes sense, a big miracle. And if I fall asleep still before the end, they'll wake me up. But But Reb Nosson had this incredible, incredible deep relationship with Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman told his Hasidim, he said, nobody knows anything about me. No one really knows me. He said, only Rabbi Nosson knows a little bit. Of all the Hasidim, Rabbi Nosson was the one that transcribed all of Rabbi Nachman's teachings. Rabbi Nachman also said, if not for my Nosson, not a word of my writings would have survived. Everything that we have from Rabbi Nachman and the impact that Rabbi Nachman had, either directly or indirectly, on the nature of Yiddishkeit is incalculable. It is impossible to imagine what Yiddishkeit would look like without Rabbi Nachman. Even if you think you didn't ever learn anything Rabbi Nachman said, you don't realize how much Rabbi Nachman's perspectives have suffused the culture. Have suffused the culture of what it means to be a Jew. Simcha, not giving up hope. You know, and this, a tefillah, a conception of Hashem as being so real, so present, etc. This is all Rabbi Nachman's transmission. The incalculable impact on Yiddishkeit, and we can trace it all to Rabbi Nosson. Rabbi Nosson was the channel. So Rabbi Nachman, in the beginning of his conversation with Rabbi Nosson, was teaching him this. And if I'm not mistaken, this was right in the beginning of the relationship. And there's a whole long, beautiful story about how Rabbi Nosson came to Rabbi Nachman. We spoke earlier how the early Hasidim, what bound them together was this universal thirst. They were all big tzaddikim, they were all big Talmid Chachamim, all of them. But they were honest enough to say something's missing. Honest enough and humble enough to seek it. To seek it. Something we're really missing today is humility. In our culture, people already think they know, they have their shita, they have their, it's ridiculous because we're all hurting. So why can't we just be honest enough to show up with an open heart of flesh, not a stone? So back then the tzaddikim were so humble. So Reb Nosson went from tzaddik to tzaddik, looking for what his neshama was yearning for. He went to the Berditcheva Rav. He went to Rav Gedalia of Linitz. He went to so many of the early tzaddikim. And until he came to Rabbi Nachman. And on their first meeting, Rabbi Nachman looked him in the eyes and he says, you and I know each other from before. It's been a very long time since we saw each other. And there's a very obvious connection between all the really transformational tzaddikim and their primary disciple. We mentioned before, Moshe Rabbeinu and Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the Arizal and Rav Chaim Vital. Every really, really great tzaddik had a moon, so to speak, who took in the teachings and reflected it in a way that everyone can understand it. That was Rabbi Nosson to Rabbi Nachman. Who knows who these souls were? Who knows? So in one of those early meetings, Lakchei Admar Zal B'yadav Akdoshoi Sviv Ksefav, Rabbi Nachman put his holy hand around Rabbi Nassim's shoulder. This itself is revolutionary. In which Hasidish or Rebbe puts his arm around, you know, imagine the Baba of a Rebbe, like, you know, it's a different culture. It's a, Rabbi Nachman was so human and so real that you read sentences like this and it's meragesh. It's very powerful. Imagine that. These two holy souls. Rabbi Nachman put his arm around Rabbi Nassim. Va'anava amaloy v'zeh aloshin. And he announced, and he said in the following words, in Yiddish, I'll read the Yiddish first and then we'll translate. And I know it because it's a song. My Yiddish is not so good, but they made it into a song. Und weiter, sezeyer zeyer God, als mir redde sich aus dem Herz, far Hashem is barach. And further he said, it's very good. Als mir redde sich aus dem Herz, far Hashem is barach. Pour out your heart before the master of the world. Hayin wazoy vi meretzich ois. And there's the song. Vi faran emesin guten fran. Vi faran emesin guten fran. Just like you would to a very good friend, to a dear friend. This is a new dimension for a new generation, for the final era of exile, getting ready to dance our way to the geula. The Yiddishkeit of Avinu Malkeinu, we need something deeper today. Our souls are yearning for something deeper. And nothing changes. Don't get me wrong. It's still Avinu and it's still Malkeinu with all of what those are. But there is a new dimension of depth that opens up. We spoke about this a little bit to the chaver that were there on Purim, not on Purim, on the pre-Purim recording. Right? The Eitz Hadas Tov V'Ra, we spoke of the Eitz HaChayim. That's it. Now the Eitz HaChayim relationship, the essential bond, the place where I recognize we're going to learn all about this. I'm telling you, we haven't begun to begin. We have not begun. This Sefer is something life-changing. Life-changing, really. So we're going to learn about the dynamic of the relationship in the most evocative, beautiful words, terminologies, phrases, concepts. Going to get into all of this. So he just says the translation. This is very, very good. When you pour out your heart, again, a heart of flesh, a breast of our heart, before Hashem, like you do to your best friend. There's no inhibition. There's nothing to hide. And I bless you. If you don't have this kind of relationship, I bless you to have friends like this. Where you know that nothing you can say is going to scare them off. You know that they're there. They're there with you and you're there with them. There's a space where you can be authentically you. Where you can really express what you're going through to the nth degree without you know, covering anything over or sugarcoating anything. Really. Really, 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 really. I'm blessed with a few friends like this. I'm blessed with a spouse like this. What a privilege. Now imagine if I can have that with the Infinite One. Imagine if I can believe that the Infinite One cares enough about me that He's present for me in such a way. Imagine if there's a way in which I could understand Hashem to be reciprocating in that relationship. Where I'm vulnerable with Hashem. And again, kiviyachol, we're going to learn about what this means. Hashem is vulnerable with me. Kiviyachol. We're going to see all of what this means. That I need Hashem, but in this way, Hashem also needs me. I'm there for Him. That's what friendship is. It's different than a king and his subject, and it's even different than a parent and a child. It's different. It's symbiotic. It's relational. But now, that needs a lot of understanding. Hashem is perfect. Hashem is the Infinite One. Hashem doesn't need anything. We're going to get into all of this. As is Hashem. Let's just do one final quote and we'll wrap it up for tonight. I didn't even realize how I thought we were going to get maybe through the whole Hakdama. But by way of introduction, we're not in a rush. It's important to frame things to understand where we're coming from, where we're going, what we're learning, you know, and why. So hopefully tonight accomplished the Hakdama to the Hakdama, the introduction to the introduction. Let's just read one last quote and we'll call it a night for now, for tonight. And we're going to open it up for questions as well. Before we end the last few minutes. Okay? Bezos Hashem. So he says, Hali Hashem is Baruch Mar Karanu Banim. Hashem already called us His children. And this really speaks very, very much to what we spoke about in the pre-Purim Fabringen at that event in the Jewish Futures. Kamei Shekasav, Hashem called us His children. Kamei Shekasav Banim Atem LaHashem Aleikechem. You are the children of Hashem, your God. Al-Kain, Rabbi Nachman says, good, if that's the truth, then manifest that aspect of the relationship. So this is also like, okay, this is still Avinu, but you can have a really, really close relationship, not just a technically, you know, bound relationship. Hashem is our parent. Yeah, it's a metaphor. In the same way that a parent brought the child in a way, you know, into this world. So Hashem is like our creator, is like our father. No, he says it means for real. Hashem, like for real. It's not a metaphor, just. It's literal. Hashem is really like our Father. And in that sense, Al Kain Toiv Ma'oid, it's very, very good. So to pour out your heart again before Hashem like a child in a healthy relationship is able to pour out before Hashem our Father. And use your hands. I use my hands a lot. Hand motions, right? Use your hands, meaning like just like you would have a real conversation. Get into it for real. Speak things out. Shakurin, what's called it, I guess, in Ukrainian, pyachin, like to hand motions, I guess. V'yafim nidbala adam, and this is so extraordinarily powerful. I have a whole shiur on this sicha because on Monday afternoon, today we didn't have the shiur, but we have a Zoom shiur for everybody. And I'm happy to post the link to the WhatsApp group where I post the links for all the other shiur, and there are many shiur that I give. This is, I wanted to do something in person for women, but That's available on Zoom for everyone. So we're going through this sefer that this is a quote from, Sichas Haran, which is another of the foundational Sfarim of the Breslover corpus. So I have a whole class on this Sichas Haran Zayin, number 7. Alkein Toiv Ma'oitza, he says, Adam, and even if it appears to a person, Shalofi Maisa, then in accordance with his or her actions, maybe I lost that relationship. I've not been acting like a good son or a good daughter. I haven't been acting like I should be. Im kol zeh, it says Rabbi Nachman, who cares? Halei Hashem is barach koranu banim. Hashem already called us. You're his daughter. You're his child. And Rabbi Meir and the Gemara Paskinski, ben kach ben kach kurim l'chabanim. No matter what. That's what it means to be a child. That's what we talked about. An unconditional Eitz Chaim, Eitz HaChaim relationship. That isn't the Eitz HaDas Tov Ra, where it depends on what I'm doing, whether I'm acting properly or I'm not acting properly. Tefillah is unconditional. Tefillah is Karev Hashem L'chol Karev. God is close to whoever calls out to Him. You don't need to be on any Madriga to call out to Hashem. On the contrary. Tefillah La'ani Kiyatov. Tefillah is for the paupers. Tefillah is, what's a pauper? The Gemara says in Nedarim, Ein Ani Elamin Adas. True poverty means a person who is not, doesn't have clarity. Tefillah La'ani. You can reach out to Hashem no matter what. So these are three foundational quotes from the corpus of Breslov that begin to speak about this aspect of personal prayer in our own words. And we're going to learn about, again, this the Sefer is going to go through what Hispodidah should look like what are the actual stages. But much more importantly, and that's the bulk of the at least the beginning of the Sefer, is just much more philosophical first. What is the dynamic of a friendship with Hashem? What does that look like? What concepts do we need to have in our mind when we step into the space, into the arena of Hispodidus? And then we're going to learn about, again, different kinds of Hispodidus, and so on. Next week, Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to take a look at the actual Hakdama to the Sefer. Hopefully we should be able to move through it more quickly because I spent a lot of time the first half hour just outside. We're gonna try to cover ground because there's a lot to get to. Be'ezus Hashem. And you're going to see that in the Hakdama, basically what he does is he lays out what we can hope to get out of the Sefer. So I already said a lot of different things, but he sets things up a little bit differently, and that will be Be'ezus Hashem for next week. Okay, so I think it's a phenomenal beginning. And again, it's a huge schus to have us together. If we can, to anybody who's watching on Zoom or going to be listening to the recording, if you are able to make it here in person, it would be to the unimaginable benefit, really incalculable benefit to the whole Chabura. When one more neshama comes and joins, we get new siyata deshmaya that's needed just for that soul, and everyone else benefits. So it's really, really important. It's wonderful to follow the shiurim on Zoom. And the recordings, but if you are able to make it in person, please do. And we'll continue now.